Hello and welcome to the 2014 Sydney New Year's Eve live audio description broadcast on 2RPH. We're super excited to be here. I'm Emma.
And this is Daryl.
And we'll talk about the whole event in this introduction, the ideas behind the evening, the theme, and we'll delve into individual features of 2014 Sydney New Year's Eve, striving to pass on more detail prior to each event in the schedule before we audio describe each one. Of course, we're going to live describe the two pyrotechnic highlights of the evening, the 9 p.m. family fireworks display and the midnight fireworks display. Our live audio description also includes the Sydney Harbour Bridge effect.
I wonder what it will be this year, Emma.
And as much of the dazzling pylon projections as we can throughout the night whilst we're on air. We're sharing the evening with 2RPH regular programming. We're not going to talk to you non-stop for the next 5 hours.
So don't worry.
I'll explain more about that in a minute. For now, let's explore a bit of the context to 2014 Sydney New Year's Eve.
Each year, the event takes on a new theme, a word, a colour scheme, an outlook, if you like, that frames the hard work the creative, programming, production and operational teams put into realising this massive outdoor New Year's Eve event. The fireworks are viewed by over 1.6 million people from the harbour and surrounds, and 2.7 million people watch the midnight fireworks live on TV in Australia. For the 2010 event, an audience of 1.5 million watched the display at the riverbank, and 1.1 billion people are reported to have watched it globally. The event's producer, City of Sydney, in creative collaboration with the event's creative team, Imagination Australia, has devised a creative concept for 2014 Sydney New Year's Eve. This year, the theme is Inspire. The logo for the event, used on the marketing around town and on the website, is a cleverly drawn cartoon-esque Sydney cityscape sprouting off a sphere. The curves of the Sydney Opera House, Luna Park, Smiling Face, the Sydney Tower, all this practically bursting off a globe in a palette of loud Willy Wonka colours. As it's like a globe, the ocean at the centre is a striking purple-blue. The protruding buildings off the edges are predominantly a loud pink. The top left-hand corner featuring the opera house is accentuated in yellows and orange. Radiating out in big, bold, white letters is the word INSPIRE, all in capitals across it. This logo and its vibrant colour scheme will no doubt influence what we see in the fireworks displays later tonight.
How will Sydney inspire you in the new year?
How indeed. Imagination Australia has engaged Jack Thompson, the acclaimed Australian actor, to join the team as creative ambassador and bring his unique storytelling perspective to 2014 Sydney New Year's Eve. Emma and I will be on air with you to enhance your front row experience of tonight's entertainment. We are audio describing the events as they unfold. Ours is not the main commentary. We are just an accompaniment designed to provide coverage suitable for vision-impaired patrons, improving the accessibility of 2014 Sydney New Year's Eve. Julia Zamiro and Toby Truslove are presenting a four-hour entertainment segment on ABC TV from 8:30 p.m. The fireworks will also be broadcast live on ABC News 24, and you can live stream the 2014 Sydney New Year's Eve Telstra YouTube show from 8:30 p.m. 104.1 2-Day FM is broadcasting the soundtrack to the fireworks.
I'm happy to report we have a fabulous clear view and we're live to air throughout the night. We'll cross back to regular 2RPH programming between 8:10 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. after the 8 o'clock air displays. We also cross back to regular 2RPH programming between 9:15 and 10:35 following the family fireworks and the kickoff of the Harbour of Light Parade. There is regular 2RPH programming for an hour between 10:45 p.m. and 11:45 before the 12 p.m. midnight fireworks display. So we won't be talking to you all night, essentially just joining you live for the extra good bits and to add audio description, allowing you to enjoy New Year's with your friends, family and those around you. Sydney New Year's Eve is a lot about the fireworks, let's be honest, but it's not all about the fireworks. There are two displays, one at 9 p.m, the family fireworks, and the other, the midnight fireworks. And whilst people best associate the harbour celebrations with these two events, there's quite a lot more going on.
On the harbour, the entertainment began overhead at 6 p.m. with Matt Hall's first air display. He's a former RAAF fighter pilot, fighter combat instructor, And he has an incredibly aerodynamic aircraft that wows the crowd and kicks the night off before the sun sets. It's Matt Hall's fifth year providing flyover entertainment for Sydney New Year's Eve celebrations. Dan O'Donnell has already flown with him at 6 p.m. and at 8 p.m. he'll do a solo run that he casually terms getting his feet wet. There are a lot of aerobatics. We'll be describing the 8 p.m. display as part of the audio description broadcast right here on 2RPH. More about Matt and his plane in just a moment. We've also come on board for the audio description broadcast after the Sydney Ports Fire Tug water display. This took place at 7 o'clock this evening between McMahon's Point and Fort Denison. Some of you will know that as Pinchgut. Sydney Ports Corporation fire tug, the Ted Noffs, made its way around the harbour for some time, blasting tons of water into the skies in an impressive display of frothing frivolity against the setting sun, showing off the boat's spraying power. The Ted Noffs is a bright yellow and orange tug, and the hoses shooting water draw to mind a peacock in full display.
The Ted Noffs is named after Ted Noffs, who founded the Wayside Chapel 50 years ago in 1964. Next in the program of events is Matt Hall's 8 p.m. flyover. In his plane, he'll head around the bridge, the Opera House, Fort Denison, and more than a million keen bean people. Sydney New Year's Eve has interviewed Matt in the past, and I took some really interesting things from his past interviews. At 6 p.m, both of the planes came over. They came from Bankstown Airport. Dan flew north to Manly and flew back through the Heads along the North Shore, and Matt followed the Parramatta River right up to the Sydney Harbour Bridge. They circled each other in the sky. Their smoke was streaming behind them. It was quite something to see. They'll fly again. He'll fly, Matt, again at 8 p.m. with his smoke switched on, leaving a trail, ensuring that he's highly visible above the crowd. For the 8 p.m. show, Matt will perform between Fort Denison and the Sydney Opera House, dipping as low as 6 or 7 metres above the water and up to 600 metres in a daring aerobatic display. Daryl and I will be delighted to describe for you his aerial prowess as he performs. How exciting! Matt takes to the air in a single-seat race plane. He reckons it's worth about $1 million, as it's been custom-built in the US to suit him. It has 350 horsepower engine. If that means nothing to you, think fast racing cars like a Mustang. And it weighs only 500 kilos. So actually, the power-to-rate ratio really is like a race car. Matt says it's the most manoeuvrable piece of machinery that can carry a human being in the world. The plane turns at 14G, and given the average person passes out at around 4G, that's quite fast. A G-force of 4 means you feel a force that's 4 times as strong as the force of gravity. It takes training, a high level of fitness, and a custom seat to function in that environment, with these kinds of forces being exerted on your body. At the time of a high-speed run, Matt's heart rate peaks at 200 beats a minute. Employing the correct technique, he can stay conscious, and it's definitely a learned skill. He doesn't use instruments during a quick turn either, only natural instinct, and he has to pre-position his body ready for the turn before it happens, because the force on his limbs means a head turn or an arm movement would be impossible. Imagine your head weighs just as much as your whole body. Matt's quite passionate about how unique an experience it is. The rest of us, well, we're free to imagine. When the aerial display kicks off, we'll be describing the inspiring pilot in action.
At 8 p.m, along with Matt Hall's second air display, the pylon projections on eastern faces of the north and south pylons of the Sydney Harbour Bridge commence for the evening. We'll bring you as much of this as we can. There are two 24-metre by 18-metre screens made up of smaller panels adorning both ends of the Sydney Harbour Bridge structure on the pylons. The pylon projection display runs throughout the evening with varied content. It starts with a 30-minute holding slide and gets more interesting at 8:30 p.m. This New Year's Eve, for the first time, the world's most famous bridge will be lit up with tweets from Sydneysiders and visitors about how the Harbour City will inspire them in the new year. Use the hashtag SYDNYE to tweet New Year messages.
You might get your message on the bridge.
That's SYDNYE. The tweets will appear live on the Sydney Harbour Bridge pylons throughout the night and will be broadcast around Australia and the world in coverage of the first major city to ring in the new year. There's a smoking ceremony that started on the water at 7:30 from the Mari Nawi vessel. If we catch some of this, we'll be lucky and we'll be sure to tell you about it. Between 20 to 9 and a quarter to 9, the acknowledgement of country takes place on the water, accompanied by pylon projection and two pyro moments. Our vantage point is close to by Circular Quay. I'll start at our left with a sweeping, short geographical summary. Mort Bay and Goat Island are off to our extreme left. Closer in, to our peripheral left, is Walsh Bay. Ahead of us, but still over to the left-hand side, out across the water, is Lavender Bay, Luna Park, and right in the foreground, to our immediate left, is the Sydney Harbour Bridge and Dawes Point, and Sydney Cove laid out in all its aquatic glory, reaching to Jeffreys Wharf and Kirribilli, and over to Beulah Street Wharf. Then back on our side of the water, to my right, the Sydney Opera House, and then Fort Denison and Garden Island are off to my extreme right.
Geographically speaking, we're in the heart of Sydney. So at the moment, we can see an overcast sky. Yesterday, it was a beautiful, clear sky with no clouds. We were doing a rehearsal in here, and my goodness me, tonight we've got a bit of cloud cover over the city. It'll be interesting to see if that obscures anything. We've got crowds of people below us. I can't explain how many people. I personally have never seen this many people in one spot. We came to our position at around about 3 p.m. this afternoon, and there was a reasonable amount of people milling around, I'd say a few thousand. Now there are rows and rows of people stacked in the forecourt of the Sydney Opera House, in the area in front of the Sydney Opera House that leads up to the Circular Quay entrance, and in front of the MCA forecourt. There's rows and rows of people with blankets. It's a multicoloured, spectacular view of very keen people waiting to see what's about to happen. Just going to talk a little bit about the Fred Knopfs. We knew it was going to happen, but we actually got to see it because obviously we've been in position for quite some time. It was an amazing thing. The boat is red and yellow, and it came from our peripheral left and it went under the Sydney Opera House, spraying what looked to be around 30 to 50 metres ahead of it, this shooting jet of water, and two more jets coming down into the water in front of it. And because of the wind, there is a little bit of wind out there tonight, it was leaving a mist behind it that obscured most of the boat as it was passing. What a sight! Daryl, do you have something to add?
Well, I noticed that there's been a few aircraft in the sky tonight, and right now there's a police helicopter hovering gently in the sky above the Hyatt Hotel, very lazily in the sky. The wind doesn't appear to be disturbing it, and that's good news for those of us who want a good fireworks show.
We did see a number of helicopters when we were watching the original 6 p.m. two aerial planes come over. There was obviously a news helicopter, and there was also the police. So there's quite a lot of air activity. There's also an enormous amount of boats on the harbour. Apparently up to 3,000 boats take their place within the Sydney Harbour to get a good vantage point. Out to our east, there are many, many small vessels, private boats that number in their hundreds now. There's a plethora of them, mostly out and petering out towards Bradley's Head, but they're in a massive cluster because, of course, between the Sydney Opera House and the Harbour Bridge, there is an exclusion zone. So everyone's pushed out to peripheries, but there's definitely a lot of people standing by for the celebrations.
And Emma, I think I can see a barge coming into view under the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and I have a feeling that that barge might be loaded up with fireworks. But there's something else interesting. It looks as if Matt Hall's making an appearance in the sky.
Matt's in a light plane like we described, but I didn't realise that it was yellow and it's got flashing lights now because the sky is beginning to darken with the very beginnings of dusk. He's just flown out to our right, so over to the east, past the Opera House, high above the crowd, hoping he's going to circle back in just a moment. In the meantime, I'll just mention that while we've been sitting here, we've watched the firework barges arrive into position. They're long barges, around 26 metres or more, I would say, and they have 2 to 3 shipping containers on board. We can see where they're positioned, and we'll describe those a little bit later on, but it's been fun watching all of the infrastructure start to take its place on the water, ready for tonight's displays.
And we might point out, too, that although there are lots and lots of boats on the harbour. Very, very few of them are in the area of the bridge and the Opera House. And why is that? That's, of course, for safety, because the fireworks are going to happen in an hour's time.
Just 1 hour.
1 hour to go. Now, Matt's still out of sight.
He's over
the ocean somewhere. Something
here he comes. He's circling and he's flipped in his plane. And now he's, at the same time as turning the entire vehicle, he's scooping down to that 6 or 7 metres above the water. And then up in an almost vertical line above us, I would say 600 metres.
Almost.
Spinning around, blowing smoke. And he's reached the peak of his apex, and now he's coming straight back down. There is no veering. He's coming towards the water. Oh, my goodness. And he's done a parabola. He's reached down just in front of the Opera House in an amazing display, and he's gone all the way back up again to the peak of his display at around 600 metres above us. He's twisting in his plane.
And his wing light's twinkling, which helps us to see him.
It certainly does.
In the sky. And down he comes to the water again, near the fireworks barge.
Which is near Fort Denison.
And right up into the
sky. And look at how he twists as he goes as well. It's not just a daring feat of height. He's also doing amazing things with the actual manoeuvring of the plane. He's done a backwards bend, like a somersault in reverse. A backflip, thank you.
Almost hanging stationary in the sky.
He has. And now he's a long way above us, still almost directly overhead above the Opera House. And he's swinging back and free-falling down around about 300 metres. Oh, it looks like he's going to hit the water. We know he won't. Oh, my goodness. That's 3 or 4 metres above the water. That's got to be. Come around in a full circle, but it's an anti-clockwise circle, and he's spinning very, very low, so say 10, 15 metres above the water in front of the Sydney Opera House, and up, up, up.
And he's upside down.
He is.
He's upside down. How does he do it? He's twisting around now, but down to the water again, still flying upside down, I think. And he's flying along the water at a height of, what, 10 metres above the... If he waggles his wings, he's going to get them wet. And up he comes off the water a bit.
That is the lowest I have ever seen anybody fly anything.
He's circling around.
And he was upside down, and he's back the right way, and he's veering up into the sky in a parabola in front of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, but still between the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Opera House. And he's almost stationary. He's upside down now? Is that upside down?
Right.
No, he's gone back the right way. And now he's flying in a nice straight line for us so our heart rates can start to return to normal. Who's to say what he's going to do next? He's ascending a little bit, only about 50 or so metres, and spewing smoke. Not in a bad way, just in a spectacular way. And he's come around in a half circle, anti-clockwise, and dipping in front of the Opera House and up, up, up into the sky. That's 600 metres. The smoke has stopped, and now he's definitely doing... I think he's upside down, but perhaps he's not.
Just so lazy in the sky. He's slowing down and slowing down. His wingtip lights are still flashing.
He looks like a bee hovering above a flower. He's moving so slowly.
He does. He looks as if he's just...
Now it's in free fall. Wow. And the smoke's back on again. So down, down, down he comes, just in between the Opera House and Fort Denison, dipping to around 10 metres above the water and up, 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 up to only, I'd say, 200 metres above the water. Wow, look at him go. Now he's a long way to our east. So we can barely see him, but we can see what he's doing via the smoke trail he's leaving behind. So he's wowing the crowd out by Bradley's head.
In fact, he's heading vertically upwards yet again. Vertically upwards, and now what's going to happen? Don't aeroplanes stall when they do that, Emma?
I have no idea. I'm totally amazed.
Now, he shoots himself down to the ocean and in the nick of time pulls himself out of it. What is it? He says it's 6 or 7 metres. It looks to me like a matter of centimetres above the water.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
And now he's out of our sight. He's too far over towards the ocean, too far to the east.
But his smoke that he's left behind in the haze of brilliance that he's been displaying in front of us is gently settling over the water. It'll take a minute or two to dissipate. And in front of us, there's a helicopter still hovering above the Sydney Opera House, either enjoying the view or just making sure everyone is safe. And the lights of Luna Park have come on as well.
Well, they have too, the lights of Luna Park. I wonder if anyone's running the rides there tonight.
And there's a military boat in the harbour, just in front of Circular Quay. There's also one, looks like, viewing vessel in the harbour between the Sydney Opera House and the Harbour Bridge, and it's a white two-level boat of some description, which is quite unusual. Don't they have prime seats?
If anyone's on that boat, well, we hope you enjoy this evening. That's the only boat, and the military boat, they are the only boats in Circular Quay by now.
Well, this display has been inspiring. We did see another air display just before the 6pm one, which was the Air Force roulettes, and they came in there, did a quick zowie movement that I was not expecting, but it was nothing like what we've just seen. I'm hoping that we'll see a little bit more of Matt.
Matt's just come into view on the far right in the east, where Emma can't see him. He's done a gigantic barrel roll and then down to the ocean and then headed out to the ocean again where I can't see him. He's out of sight again.
Okay, so I'm just going to assume that that might be the end of his segment. What else can we tell you about the view just before we cross back to 2RPH? I can tell you that in front of the Sydney Opera House on the forecourt, there are masses of people. There also looks to be a stage of some description. We've noticed a stage also in front of the Hyatt building on, there's a name for that particular, it's called the Hixton Road Reserve. There's also a stage out there. We're wondering what might happen on those. There's a chance we might get to see, but they're pretty tiny below us.
It must be a very exclusive place because there's hardly anyone there.
Another interesting thing of note is the Blues Point Tower, which is off to in the west. I believe that's Dawes Point adjacent. There are so many people in that particular area. They've been stacked in their hundreds there since about 3 p.m. and it must be full to bursting. There's another area, I think it's the swimming pool next to Luna Park, North Sydney Olympic Pool. That's got these amazing, it's a tiered area, obviously, so that spectators might be able to watch swimming, but that looks to be a good vantage point, and that is definitely filling up as well. There are pockets of the city that didn't look like they would get audience, and now there's people in every little corner and cove. It's an amazing sight to see. We hope everyone's going to enjoy tonight's proceedings. I'm thinking, imagine it's the first time that you've come to see the fireworks tonight. If this is your first night out there, we hope you're having a good time. Bridget, our accessibility officer, was mentioning a gentleman called Ben who might be coming for the first time ever. Ben, if you're down there, this is a shout out to you. I hope you have a good evening. I heard there's also 9,000 volunteers for the St. John's. And Matt's plane is back. I'll tell you a little bit about volunteers in a little while. He's come between the Sydney Opera House and the Harbour Bridge, and he's ascending vertically in a line, and he's turned off his smoke, and he's flying away from us. He's flying east. Daryl, do you think he's going to do anything else?
Well, I hope he does. That last one was spectacular. He was not only flying vertically, he was twisting around. How does he stop being giddy?
I don't know. Would feel so sick.
Perhaps he's used to it. Perhaps he's done it before. He's just heading out to the east now.
And you know what? We the vessel that we described that's between the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge is likely the Murray Nawi, which is the Indigenous smoking vessel, for want of a better word. So it's the ship that may have the smoke on it, which is part of the smoking ceremony that will bring in the acknowledgement to country, which is in our next segment shortly. So I can't really say that we know for sure, but we're going to speculate that that's a positive thing.
Now, the police helicopter has flown off from its lazy vantage point, so I think Matt must be gone. They've obviously enjoyed his display, as we all have, and they're moving off to take up their next position.
What a way to kick off dusk. There's a few other things that are going to happen tonight, but that's a really exciting start.
I noticed that one of the east Circular Quay buildings has a car on the roof of it, and perhaps we'll have time. I think we have to go back to the studio soon.
We do. Thanks so much for listening. We're now going to cross back to 2RPH.